Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Lincoln Journal Star's Life in the Red podcast. As usual, Luke Mullen, Amy Just here with the first episode of 2024 New Year. Happy New Year to all you viewers, listeners out there. And to get us started, you recently wrote a really nice column, a lot of predictions for 2024. Check it out. But I want to hear one. Just give me one. There were a lot in there. Just give me one that you think you have a high degree of confidence is going to happen.
Oh man.
Of your many predictions.
Oh my goodness. Put me on the spot here. This isn't in the script. Women's basketball team making the NCAA tournament and softball hosting a regional.
Okay. I like both of those a lot. You know what? What jumped out to me was 8-4.
I know. I know. I got so many emails about that. They're like, you, Miss Doomsday, predicting 8-4?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. It's January 1st. For the record, I was right with my record prediction from last year.
Yeah.
And right about Jon Rahm winning the Masters. I should have bet on that. Even though I explicitly tell people, do not bet on
this. This is not financial advice.
Not financial advice. For the love of God, not financial advice. But I was looking at the schedule and I like a lot of the pieces that are coming back. There are a lot of veteran guys that are coming back. I'm really excited about some of the freshmen that are going to come in and potentially, you know, make their bid to be a starter, a key role player. I like the freshmen from last year and the development that they showed, and I can't wait to see what another camp, what another offseason can do for those guys. And then the schedule early on is pretty easy. As it stands right now on the 1st of January, huge disclaimer there, but that also just, based on the schedule, just kind of feels like the floor,
I think. Certainly, yeah.
And with, you look at what Matt Rhule has done in other places in year two, like that feels like the floor. But then who knows what's going to happen, you know, 8 months from now. But
yeah,
just, it was a little bold, I know.
Just seeing the win total, you know, I was like, oh my gosh. But then I was like, you know, wait a second. She might be onto something here. So
I hope so.
I'll make a prediction.
Okay.
That they'll make a bowl game. I mean, that's a topic of contention for the last few years. So I'll put it out there. They'll make a bowl game.
You thought that this year too.
Yeah, I know. And I was wrong.
For the record, was the only one who said that they weren't going to. And I caught a lot of heat for that. And guess what? I was right. So sorry. Yeah. Not sorry, though.
So certainly make sure to look at all the predictions that Amy made, and we'll cycle back to it in a year and see how correct or incorrect you were.
I had a lot of... So I did this last year, too, and I had some good ones, and I had some just complete misses, and then some that were, like, kind of in the middle of the road. Like, yeah, I predicted that Jeff Sims was going to start, but I also had, I think I predicted that he was going to throw for, like, 300 yards in the season opener, which didn't happen.
So. I don't think, they didn't hit 200 in a single game.
They did not.
Yeah.
They did not. So...
There were some very accurate. There were some accurate ones in there though. So credit where credit's due. So
and then some wild ones.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when, you know, you're just kind of throwing things at the dartboard and doing as much research as you can, but knowing that some of this stuff is, you know, 10, 11 months away, and so many things can happen
between
now and then. So.
Yeah, but fun to go over at this time of the year, of course, but. I want to get into some of our recent news, recent updates, as we always like to. And it's kind of interesting, you know, we'll get to some basketball updates here in a moment, but we're still talking a lot of the same things, transfers, off season. I mean, this is such a big part of college athletics right now. And the big off season news this week was, of course, for the volleyball team, transfer portal movement both ways. We'd already talked about Hayden Kubik, Caroline Jervicius, entering the portal. And worth noting, Jervicius officially transferring to Penn State. So Nebraska going to see a lot of her perhaps in the conference.
Yeah, that one doesn't surprise me. It's where her dad went.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, top level player, top level program.
Yeah.
Seems like it's going to be a good fit for them. So.
Yeah, she's going to be really good. No matter where she ended up, she was going to be really good. It's still kind of mind-blowing that she redshirted this past year because they could have used her easily, especially after Lindsey Crosby went down. But
Yeah. So we'll see how Jarvicius, how our career continues there at Penn State. But another Husker deciding to enter the portal this week, two-sport athlete Maggie Mendelson. But worth noting here is that her scholarship was counting against the women's basketball team, not the volleyball team. So that's, you know, that's just a note for the scholarship numbers. But still, I mean, a player who has contributed to this team quite a lot the last 2 years.
Yeah, and it gives me concerns about the depth at the middle position, because as of right now, they only have two.
Yeah.
Andy Jackson and Becca Alec. So they're going to need to find another one. They have all of the outside hitters they could ever want, including another one, but we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, they have a lot of defensive specialists / liberos, but they are really short on middles and super short on right side hitters.
Yeah. And certainly we alluded to it, but this was major, major news. And I'm going to give myself a little credit here, not too much credit, but I had posed the question. I was like, hey, Nebraska got Merritt Beeson last offseason. Like, is John Cook, is he going to go after transfer? And you were kind of like, roster numbers, I don't know.
Well, that is still
valid reasoning.
Valid,
yeah.
Okay. But when a player like Taylor Landfair, who has been All Big Ten 3 seasons, All-American, first team All-American 2 seasons ago when she won Big Ten Player of the Year, when she enters the transfer portal, I don't care what your roster numbers look like. You try to go get her and see what happens. And she committed to Nebraska.
Absolutely. I think it's a national championship quality player going to a school that's competing for a national title. So
yeah,
makes a ton of sense. As you mentioned, Taylor Landfair, all Big Ten hitter these last couple of years. And particularly, you look at her 2022 season, had about 500 total kills, was an All-American that year, and came back this year. And, you know, obviously, if Brent was here, he'd have a more detailed scouting report. But sounds like she had to be more of an all-rotation player, maybe a little bit less the offensive focus. So I think, you know, for her coming to Nebraska, I mean, this is going to be an opportunity to be a dominant hitter, you know, swing away. It just seems like a great fit for her skills and this offense that, of course, Nebraska runs at such a high level.
Oh, yeah. She will fit in quite nicely. Anytime that John Cook has previewed games or matches against Minnesota over the past few years, he has nothing but incredibly positive things to say about the talent that she brings, how hard she is to defend, how she's just been, you know, the straw that stirs the drink for Minnesota the past several years. And now he gets to coach her.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, too, because you look at that tournament run, and obviously late on, you know, in these matches, you know, Merritt Beeson, so reliable. They were relying on her all season. You know, Harper Murray, Allie Batenhorst. And it's like, now you add Landfair into that, like, end of match situation, you know, who are you setting it to? You know, you got Beeson, Landfair, Murray, you know, whoever's out there on the court. Like, Nebraska's going to have so many talented hitters who are so good at getting those valuable kills.
Yeah, I am really interested to see what they do there, because the outside hitters, not opposite, that's Merritt. Merritt's an opposite, the only opposite currently. You have Harper Murray. You have Lindsey Krause, who still sounds like they're working on trying to get her a medical red shirt for everything that happened this year between the car accident and her ankle injury. And then you have Allie Batenhorst. And then you have incoming freshman Skylar Pierce. Like, you have so many. And now you have Taylor. Like, I wonder if they'll move Lindsey Krause back to opposite. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just wondering what they're going to do, because how are you going to get all of them on the court? Because they're all very, very good. And I just have, what a great problem to have for them. But yeah, are you going to figure out if one of them needs to be a middle? Do you go get another? There are still so many questions. But thankfully, they don't have to be answered right now. But I would like them to be, because my emails are very full of people wondering what the heck is going on. And I also am wondering what's going on.
Yeah. Well, they're going to get creative, both in terms of position that these players end up in, the rotations during the year. So that much is very clear. But I think it's just it's a good sign for this volleyball program, losing obviously a couple really, really talented players, and then you go and get somebody of Lanphier's quality. I mean, it's a tremendous boost, of course, to the on-court stuff. And in terms of, you know, the veteran aspect of this team too, I mean, they're going to be so aligned on that goal. Not that they weren't already, but it's like you add another player with kind of that championship mentality. And I think it's going to be a good fit for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wonder, when is the other shoe going to drop? Because as it stands right now, they're one scholarship over. So I don't know if they're going to supplement with NIL, if somebody else is going to leave. The transfer portal window is closed, but compliance has 48 hours from when the portal closes to file paperwork. So there, you know, could be some stragglers, but maybe not. So I have no clue what's going to happen with the roster management system, because Nebraska is usually pretty quiet about that. They don't like to talk about that. They keep it pretty internal. But yeah, I am very interested. Yeah.
And is this just like football where there's a window in the spring for volleyball? Is that the case for volleyball too?
I think so. Yeah. They keep changing all of the transfer portal rules.
Yeah, it's true.
Having a hard time keeping up with it. But yes, they do, because Kayla Caffey transferred.
Yep.
Yeah, yes, okay. They have one in the summer or spring,
after
summer-ish.
Spring practice. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, it's the roster management is not over.
Yeah, we'll see when this gets resolved, but Amy doing an awesome job tracking all those transfers in the last week. So that is the volleyball update. We'll get on to some football transfer activity here in a moment. But the in-season action, women's basketball and men's basketball teams, they had a little bit of a break, some days off. But some recent results to recap you on, catch up on. The women's basketball team, this game was about a week and a half ago, so a little bit older news. But 5-game winning streak snapped in a 69-52 loss to Kansas. Just didn't shoot the ball very well in that one. Pretty poor shot selection overall, but big response in the Big Ten home opener from Nebraska. 87-81 victory over Maryland. And it seems like every episode we're talking about, oh, Natalie Potts, she had another great week. And she did it again.
She was phenomenal. 17 points, 13 rebounds. Her vision for just going and attacking the glass. She had 7 offensive rebounds. It was insane watching her work. She has been such a dominant force for them. And you don't expect freshmen to be this integral this early, but man, she was incredibly impressive and just continues to show the reason why Amy Williams was so high on her to begin with. But it wasn't just her. Alexis Markowski had yet another double-double, and so did Jazz Shelley with 11 assists. So I was very surprised that they won that game. I thought it would be close, but they did such a great job on defense and getting offensive rebounds and creating extra possessions. I didn't know how that was going to go because Maryland's pretty talented. They've got a lot of really good players, including one, Cheyenne Sellers, who Nebraska limited to 1 of 7. So, and had her foul out. I think 3 Maryland players fouled out. So, incredible job.
Excellent win. And with Potts, too, you know, it's one thing if your own coach is, you know, is giving you praise. But when opposing coaches come in and say, man, she impacted the game, like, that's really high praise for her. And also, I thought the guards just shot the ball a lot better against Maryland than they did against Kansas as well. So that was another key improvement there. And it's a good time to pick up a big win. Nebraska, they will be on the road at Wisconsin Thursday night. And then big game coming up at home. Nebraska hosting number 14 Indiana, 1 p.m. on Sunday. And big crowd expected to be in attendance. Jordan Hooper having her jersey retired.
Yeah, I was on the phone with Jordan for 2 hours yesterday.
Awesome. Wow.
Like 90 minutes of it was just talking about random stuff that's not going to make the story, but man, I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, great moment for her, one of the legends. So
she is so excited. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, so looking forward to that ceremony. Great moment for her and for that crowd here Sunday, 1 p.m. again, that game against Indiana. And as for the men's basketball team, concluded their non-conference slate. And I think you could say it's a job well done, because this non-conference schedule only loss came to Creighton. They took care of business all the rest of those non-conference games.
Yeah, some of them were a little ugly, but they got it done, including North Dakota. That was, I watched it from afar, and that was ugly, but they pulled it out.
Yeah, it looked really bad for most of the game. Huskers were down 10 points at halftime, rallied in the second half to come back for that 83-75 win, and then followed up 91-62 win over South Carolina State. That game probably went as expected, a little bit overpowered opponent in that game. But really notable was kind of how the front court stepped up. Rink Mask, out of both those two games, underwent a minor knee surgery, and head coach Fred Hoiberg saying game time decision against Indiana.
Yeah, and that game is, as we record, is tonight. Yep. So, you know, depending on when you listen to this, we will have some clarity on that. I talked to him the other day. He has high hopes. He looks like an assistant coach out there. It's really funny. He has high hopes, selfishly, because, you know, his family is here from the Netherlands and he wants to play in front of them. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yep. Hope that works out for him. But
the Tominagas are here too. They will be here tonight. So should be a little fun.
Absolutely. But I thought Josiah Alec and Juwan Gary, fantastic. Yes. Both those games playing extended minutes, rebounded, doing the hard work. I mean, no drop off in play from either of those guys. So well done to them. And Nebraska now 11-2, 1-1 in Big Ten play, again playing Indiana, and then will travel to Wisconsin later this week. So potential for some big wins there for the men's team as well.
Yeah, and it sounds like Nebraska is like a 4-ish point favorite tonight against Indiana, which surprised me.
Yeah, wow.
I haven't looked ahead to Wisconsin, but if they could get one or both of these, it will be huge, because guess who comes after? Purdue.
Yeah, there's a pretty tough stretch coming up. Yep. For this team. So those are your basketball updates. And on to, as usual, closing things out with football. Transfer portal still in full swing. And got to talk about this quarterback situation right now. Jeff Sims entered the portal a couple weeks ago, but Chubba Purdy departing right after signing day. And that means the scholarship option still on the roster right now. Heinrich Harburg, incoming freshman Dylan Raiola, and Danny Kalen, provided, you know, Chubba doesn't back out of the portal. I mean, kind of a tough spot for this team to be in.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they go get a portal guy, maybe a guy who's excelled at the FCS level, mm-hmm. or group of five type of stuff. They need a veteran in that room. Whether Chubba pulls out of the portal, I haven't heard anything either way about what he's going to do as of this recording, but they need somebody else. They need somebody else.
Yeah, and I get it totally from
even
Chubba's
if he's not going to play
too.
Yeah, even if he's not going to play, they need somebody else.
Yeah, certainly we saw how the depth could be tested last year, and you know, in terms of Purdy's decision too, you know, it was a tough one, because you know, I'm sure he had that path towards being the starter, right? But at the same time, it's like, it's easy to consider, like, would he always have been looking over his shoulder at Raiola, as opposed to, you know, going somewhere else where you can be that impact transfer, you know, locked in. So I'll be interested to see where he does land up, you know, the schools that are most interested in him. But you kind of understand that decision from him, certainly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I know that they changed the rules again for transfers, but he did graduate. So under the old rules, he would be eligible immediately.
Yep. Immediate eligibility, that helps a lot. But in terms of other transfer portal activity, one other recent departure, linebacker Randolph Kapai, former top recruit out of South Dakota, didn't play in a game during his three seasons with the team. He has entered the portal, so wish him the best in finding his new college. But in terms of Nebraska's activity, really focused on potentially bringing in some players this week. This is January 3rd to 7th. This is a window for players to visit campus. And just one transfer portal scholarship addition so far, cornerback Bly Hill coming from the FCS level. So expecting a little bit more activity on campus this weekend. In terms of offensive skill positions, this is something we talked about a lot. They need an upgrade at these spots. So
yes, they do.
So first up on that list is running back. The visitor that Nebraska has coming in, Dante Dowdle. He's an Oregon transfer, 3 years of eligibility left. Played a little bit this year, averaged 5.3 yards per carry, just 17 attempts across six games. But former top recruit, potential to add to this running back room that has some pieces coming back, but guys coming back off injury and maybe not the depth that has always been there at that spot.
Yeah, I mean, the more the merrier in that room, I think. Yeah. If you read my preseason prediction column, I'm very high on Gabe Irvin making a complete comeback, but you never know.
Yeah, I agree. I think Irvin, he certainly can be that dominant guy in the room, but I think the staff is very realistic that that position gets dinged up over the course of a year. You got to have at least three guys who are going to be able to step in and fulfill that role. So,
yeah, emphasis on at least three.
Yeah, if not more.
Yeah, because we saw, you know, Emmett Johnson do really, really well when he was called upon. You know, make some mistakes too, of course. But yeah, I think they need a little bit more there.
Yeah, so Dowdle, potentially one of those names Nebraska's looking at. But the other spot, wide receiver, major need. And a name off the board today, Ohio State transfer Julian Fleming had visited campus several weeks ago as we record this, but he's officially headed to Penn State instead. So Nebraska looking at a couple different options. One of them, Wake Forest transfer Jamal Bakes, been a starter there at Wake Forest last 2 years. 6'4", 205, 2 years of eligibility remaining. Very dependable, caught 59 passes last season. And I like for him a lot. I mean, he would be that guy that could come in physical on the outside, be that big target that these quarterbacks can look to.
Yeah. I mean, as we've talked about, they need receivers, veteran receivers. I like the young group that they have. And then especially when you lose Marcus Washington, who's not coming back.
Yep, certainly. And also fitting the bill, I think, kind of is a player who could play it on the outside. The other wide receiver Nebraska's looking to host this weekend, Isaiah Nayer, former Texas and Wyoming wide receiver, kind of an interesting journey he's had to get to this point. Had a really, really big 2021 season with Wyoming, transferred to Texas, tore his ACL, and that recovery, kept him out entirety of 2022, bled into 2023 as well. So at least 1 year left to play, potentially two if he explored a medical waiver, but similar size, 6'3", 215, good speed as well, you know, for a guy of that size. And I think as well with Banks, it's just that case of a guy who's put up big numbers and can come in and be dependable there on the outside.
Yeah. You always wonder about ACLs. And obviously that's a question mark. But if he could, wherever he goes, right, replicate what he did at Wyoming, I think he could be a good fit for any team anywhere looking for a veteran guy who's been around, hasn't necessarily played a whole lot lately, but has been through the ropes and knows, and the young guys could learn from that.
Yeah. And especially what I'll be interested to see is, yes, they've got these three guys that they want to bring onto campus for visits, but do they have the space, you know, to take all of them? Probably not. But again, this stuff is still so up in the air. I think certainly if we had to prioritize one, I would say get that wide receiver. That's what I would say.
I would say get a quarterback a wide receiver. But yes.
Absolutely. So that is the important thing to watch, these players visiting potentially this weekend here in Lincoln. So make sure to stay tuned for any updates that we have. Journalstar.com for everything football, volleyball, and of course the basketball teams in action. Big games this week, but that'll do it for this week's episode of Life in the Red. As always, thanks to all of you listeners and viewers for sticking with us into 2024, and we'll see you next week.